Bible and you want to follow along, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 22, actually 23 and 24. We're going to be taking some pieces out of Numbers chapter 22 and 23. 23 and 24. And we've been looking at a prophet of the Lord whose name is Balaam. And for those of you who were unable to be with me in the past few weeks, we looked at how Balaam is a divided soul, a soul who in some sense wants to serve the Lord and in other senses does not, much like our own lives. But I want to ask a question as we look at this text. And basically I have two questions this evening to look at. But the first one to ask you is to ask if you have ever been hurt or harmed by a minister of the gospel, by a man of God who has proclaimed the mysteries of God to you. Perhaps you have and perhaps you haven't. Many people have been hurt by people who have claimed to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we hear stories on the news about ministers who have fallen and broken their trust with people. It's very sad and very sad to see. Tonight we want to look at a man who has done just that. And I want to tell you what the end of the story of the life of Balaam is. And just read from Numbers chapter 31 to see where Balaam ends up as a prophet of the Lord. You don't need to turn there. I'll just read. But in chapter 31, verse 7, it says that the people of God made war against Midian just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian along with the rest of their slain, Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, the five kings of Midian. And they also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. This is Balaam, the man of God of whom we have spoken. And if you go down, if you're following down in verse 16, we find out the reason for which he was put to death. Behold, these caused the sons of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord. A prophet of the Lord who led the people of God into sin. And you can read about that. We're not going to look at it tonight in chapter 25. But as we've looked in the past couple weeks, we've found that Balaam has been asked by a king named Balak to come and do something which the Lord does not want done. He's asked him to come and curse the people of God. So Balaam, he sees that there's money involved, that he could get paid to do this job. He could get honor for doing this job. But he knows that the Lord has said, don't do this thing. This thing is not to be done. And Balaam has this choice to make between following the Lord and following Balak, the king, and his riches and his desire for riches. A choice between obedience to the Lord and obedience to his lusts and his passions. A choice we all have to make. And he's a divided soul. He wavers back and forth. He says, I'll never do this. But then he still goes. He's like a drunk who says that he'll never drink again, but finds himself in a bar, but not to get a drink. Finds himself drinking. So on the way, Balaam is going to this place to not curse the people of the Lord, but just to go and to see what's going on. And he's stopped by his donkey. His donkey keeps going off course, won't take him to the place that he wants to go, that he's called to go to curse the people of the Lord. And three times he's taken off course by this donkey, and the donkey stops and won't go anywhere. And finally the donkey says, what is it that you're doing to me? Why are you striking me because I keep stopping and going off course? A donkey speaks and has to tell this prophet of the Lord what the true reality is. You see, there was an angel of the Lord in front of him, about to strike him dead if the donkey had not gone off course. And it was the donkey who brought sense to this prophet of the Lord. The Lord gave him great grace by saving him. But still, this prophet of the Lord had a divided heart. In the end, like we just read, he led the people of the Lord into sin. But we see as this prophet of the Lord goes, and he goes to Balak, and Balak greets him, and he says, "I want you to do this thing for me." And Balaam says, "The only words that I'll say are what the Lord will give to me." And this is the only true thing that Balaam actually says. So Balak, this king, he takes him to a place where they can see a portion of the people of God. And Balak says, "I want you to curse these people." And Balaam says, "Well, let me just see what the Lord has to say." So we find here, as he looks upon the people of the Lord in chapter 23, verse 1, "Then Balaam said to Balak, 'Build 7 altars for me here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me here.' And Balak did just as Balaam, the prophet, had spoken, and Balak, the king, and Balaam offered up a bull and a ram on each altar." Now if we go down to verse 4. "Now God met Balaam, and he said to him, 'I have set up 7 altars, and I have offered up a bull and a ram on each altar.' Then the Lord put in Balaam's mouth and said, 'Return to Balak, and you shall speak these words.' So Balaam returned to Balak, and behold, he was standing beside his burnt offering, he and all the elders of Moab. And he took up his discourse." It was as if he was up there speaking this message to Balak. And he said these words. He says, "From Aram, Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east. Come and curse Jacob for me, and come and denounce Israel." He had been invited to curse Jacob, the people of God, Israel, the people of God. And Balaam says to Balak, he says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce what the Lord has not denounced?" A prophet who has evil in his heart speaking such true words. How can I speak against what the Lord has blessed? Right from the beginning, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12 in the first few verses, when the Lord is calling out the people of God through Abram, who becomes Abraham, the Lord says to Abram, he says, "I want you to go from your people here in this place that's modern day Iraq, and I want you to go into this promised land, and I'm going to give you this great land. And I'm going to make you a great people with fame. And everybody who blesses you, I'm going to bless. And everybody who curses you, I will curse." See, Balaam was speaking the truth. He was speaking the truth. But I ask you again, as I asked you, have you ever been harmed by a minister of the gospel? Been disappointed by a minister of the gospel because his message was one thing, but his acts and his deeds were another? Hypocrites. This is why in Philippians chapter 1, the people are asking Paul, they're saying, there's these preachers who are preaching the gospel truly and faithfully, but they're doing it because they want to be better than other people. They're doing it out of envy and strife. What should we do about these people, Paul? Let them continue. See, the gospel is more important than the sinfulness of man. We're all hypocrites, right? That gives us no excuse. In fact, in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Let not many of you become teachers, for you will incur a stricter judgment. The Lord will deal with those who betray the truth of the gospel with lives that don't line up with the truth of the gospel. He will deal with those things. But how does it impact the message, the truth of the gospel? Let's continue to look in this story as Balaam tells this. He tells this to the king. He says, I can't do what you've asked me to do. See, the Lord has blessed these people, and I cannot curse what the Lord has blessed. I have no power to usurp the power of the Lord. So Balak is a little bit disappointed, and he's thinking, you know, why is it that Balaam won't do this? Maybe it's because he's afraid of the people coming and destroying him. So he takes him to another place, and he takes him to a place where he can see even less people, less of the people of God. And he says to him, I want you to curse these people. You can see just a little bit of them, but I want you to curse them, and then maybe you can curse all of them. And then Balaam comes back with another message from the Lord, and this message teaches us about this question that I've had. What do you do with a minister who has lived in a way that is unbecoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ? He comes back with this message. He says, Arise, O Balak king, and hear. Give ear to me, O son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. Did you hear this? God is not a man. See, God does not change the promises that he gives. He has promised the people of the Lord that he would bless them. We cannot change God. But God never, ever changes. We see this as a theme throughout Scripture. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I do not change. See, to change is to assume that you can get better, but the Lord is already the best. He can't get better. And he won't get worse. He will not change. And his promises will endure forever. God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man like Balaam, this prophet who lies, who betrays the truth with his words, with his deeds. Have you ever been disappointed by somebody who's lied boldly to your face? The Lord will never betray you. The Lord will never change His promises to you. And His promises are good. He is a Lord who is faithful to His promises. And as you read this scripture, and as you look at the promises of the Lord, and as you remember those who have given you those promises, and as you remember their sinfulness, forget their sinfulness and remember the Lord and His goodness. I told you about how Balaam was spoken to by a donkey, a miracle that the Lord opened up the mouth of this donkey. Here we find in this passage that the Lord is opening up the mouth of a man who is evil, a man who chooses to do evil things, to lead the people of God into evil things, as we read in chapter 25 of Numbers. See, the message of the Lord is that He, not man, not people, but He alone is faithful and good and trustworthy and worthy of our devotion and praise. So Balaam says these things to Balak the king. And of course, Balak is again disappointed. Didn't I tell you that I could honor you and I could give you riches? Why have you not done what I've asked? He says, perhaps if we go to another place and if we look at the people of the Lord from a different point of view, maybe over there we can curse them and see from a different point of view. And just as the Lord had opened up the mouth of this prophet, now he begins to open up the eyes of the prophet, and we begin to see the eyes of the Lord through this prophet. We begin to see the people of the Lord through the prophet's eyes here. In chapter 24, when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek omens, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel camping tribe by tribe. And the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his discourse. You see, he could see not just a portion of the people or the end of the people, but he could see all of the people of the Lord. And he began to see with the eyes of the Lord the love that the Lord has for his people. And hear these words, the oracle of Balaam. An oracle is only a thing that the Lord gives you. You don't have oracles out of your own mouth. It's what the Lord gives you. And the oracle of the man whose eye is opened. The oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down yet having his eyes uncovered. How fair are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out like gardens beside the river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Water will flow from his buckets, and his seed will be by many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. Balaam looks upon these people and he begins to see that they're a precious people in the eyes of the Lord, and he breaks out into this poetry about the people. Now most of our eyes glazed over because we're really not that much into poetry, right? But it's the poets who speak of love. You break into poetry when you really love something. And Balaam is beginning to see with the eyes of the Lord that the Lord really loves his people. I told you that I had two questions this evening. The first was, have you ever had a man of God hurt you or harm you, seemingly discrediting the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? But you all in this room know that your own lives don't live up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're sinful people. I'm a sinful man standing here before you, and I need the grace of the Lord in my life. The people of the Lord, if you read through Numbers, are a disobedient people. They're a people full of sins who wander in their own ways. But how does the Lord see the people of God? How does the Lord look upon these sinful people? How does the Lord look upon you as a sinful person? I want to tell you tonight that if you have received the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are the people of God. You are a child of the Lord if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that He sees you is the same way that He sees these people here as Balaam looks upon them from the mountain. How fair are your tents, O Jacob? You're beautiful. You're beautiful in the eyes of the Lord because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed upon you. Ephesians chapter 5, we just get a glimpse of how God views us as His people. He's speaking about a relationship between a husband and a wife, and he says, just as Christ also loved the church, that's you and me who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave himself up for her, that he might make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with his word, that he might present to himself the church, that's you and me who believe, in all her glory, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. See, the Lord looks upon his people as his bride. Have you ever tried to talk bad about somebody's wife? Have you ever gotten punched because you've spoken badly about somebody's wife? The Lord is looking upon you as his precious bride. And he will fight to keep all those who desire to curse you, who try to bring you down. And he wants to lift you up and cleanse you and give you a beautiful dress, because you are beautiful in his eyes if you have believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says that the Lord, he sings over you joyfully. He exults over you joyfully. He loves and delights in his people. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, he loves you. It's a miracle. But how does he love us? I've spoken it, that the blood of Jesus Christ shed for us cleanses us and makes us holy and worthy and lovable in the eyes of the Lord. And we get a fourth discourse from Balaam. He gives four oracles or messages to Balaam, and this is the last one at the end of this chapter. In verse 15, it says, "The oracle of Balaam the son of Beor, and the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down, yet having his eyes uncovered." And then Balaam, he gets this ecstatic vision of something far in front of him. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from this people, Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel." I don't know exactly the date that Balaam gave this message. I think it's 2,700 years before the birth of Christ. But he's saying, out of this people is going to come a king. A person is going to come, and he's going to take out all your enemies. And this person, this king, will be in part fulfilled in the King David, who we read about in 1 and 2 Samuel and in 1 and 2 Chronicles. But the king is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, the star who comes forth from Jacob. In the very last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus says, "I have sent my angel to you, John, to testify to you these things for the church, for the people of God. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." You see, he is the one who brings light into the world. He is the one who conquers evil and death. He is the one whose message is true and sure, even though his messengers aren't always sure and true. He is the one who cleanses us when we are not clean. This Jesus is the King who makes it possible for us to have trust and hope in the truth of the message of the Lord. See, our lives are messed up. They discredit the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Lord is faithful and true. The Lord is faithful and true. He loves you He cares for you, and He wants you to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to tie this all together with a vision from St. John in Revelation chapter 7. And I think it ties together everything here. Chapter 7, verse 4. John says, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And then he lists the tribes. See, Balaam had looked upon this mountain and seen the people of God scattered in each of their tribes. And now John sees a vision of heaven and he sees the people of the Lord put in different divisions. Then in verse 9 he says, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they were crying out and singing praises to the Lamb of the Lord, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Last night we had an election, and as you look at the election results, you see a divided nation, right? We see numbers of divisions between races, between sexes, between states, divisions. But here in the vision of heaven, we see people from every tongue, every tribe, every race, every people group, every sex, gathered with 100% vote and confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is good and faithful and true. He is the one our hearts are turned to. He is the one who will bring peace and prosperity to this dark and sinful world. And He is the one to whom we must trust. He is the one to whom we must love and give our lives. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we see in this man, Balaam, a mixture of good and bad. We see in our own lives a mixture of good and bad. But as we look to You, all that we can see is good. For You are good and faithful and true. But often we have a hard time believing that. Lord, wipe away our doubts, our fears. Wipe away our wounds and the things that we need healing from people who have hurt us. Lord, help us to trust fully and completely in You, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.